Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's another Thursday, and as the cold weather settles in and you continue to adjust to turning your clocks back in this new time change, it's time for an all-new episode of Listen In with KNN. Now, I know it's been a newsworthy week in sports, which we probably should get accustomed to as this seems like everything happening ever so often. But as I do every week, sometimes even multiple times a week, I invited in a special guest to help me break down everything. Today's guest will help me break down specifically the MEAC. So let's make the most of our time together. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in. So, as I like to start every show, because it's so vital, I'm kicking it off with Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Day. Now, I love to start the show with this segment because I think far too often we see too many negative stories in sports, and we have so many positive good things going on with people literally changing the world who aren't just these big celebrity athletes, but everyday people like you and me. So joining me today, I have the president and founder of Will to Win Incorporated, Mr. E. Tony Wilson. Now, if you don't know about Will to Win Inc., they offer a framework for holistic development, which focuses on academic achievement, civic responsibility, scholarship attainment, and athletic competencies. Yes, we're covering everything to make these students responsible citizens and covering all aspects so they can really just be great leaders, not just in school, but in life. Now, W2W's Life Skills Mentoring Community-Based Sports, Fitness, Character Development, and Wellness Education Programs are based on the signature Youth Evaluation Services, which they call YES. Now, YES is a series of educational products, tools, and applied methodologies encompassing online workshops, toolkits, CDs, videos, and individualized curriculums supported by certificate-based training. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Tony Wilson to the show. Tony, I mean, wow, just first off, congratulations on getting recognized for the work you do. For people that don't know, tell them a little bit more about Will to Win and why did you start it?
Well, this is a tremendous honor to be on your program to discuss Will to Win and working with youth throughout the DMV. We actually work with kids from all over the country. We've had the pleasure of developing, from an athletic perspective, kids that attain to be college athletes and professional mm-hmm. athletes. And we work with them in terms of their business development and their personal etiquette skills so that they're successful off the court as well. Some of the people that we've worked with have been Josh Hart, that is currently playing with the Lakers. And we've
yes.
also worked with Marcus Gilbert, who is the defensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are people that came out of our program, amongst many others. But our focus is working with the kids, developing fundamentals, either on the court, in the field, or through athletics, and then also working with them in the classroom so that they can be successful.
I mean, I love that. And for people, like, Tony is the real deal. I've had the pleasure of working with Will to Win Inc., and that's what brought me into this because it's a program that really is changing youth for the better. Now, I myself was luckily touched in my life by the Boys and Girls Club growing up. But here we have Will to Win Inc. in Prince George's County, and if you want to find out more about them, their website is willtowin.org. Their phone number is 301-805-0088. But I say this to say that Tony can keep doing the work you're doing because it's needed. I think more than ever on the news, especially, we see kids getting into trouble that they really shouldn't be getting into. And I think they probably wouldn't be getting into it if they had more programs like yours to get out there, you know, and reach them. And hopefully now their parents have another option. Because, you know, there's some parents, Tony, who are like, you know, I don't know what to do with my kid after school. Or maybe my kid's excelling on the basketball court or the football field, but they're not excelling in the classroom. And your program kind of brings all pieces together to touch them. So give people a little bit of information about how can they register for this great program?
Well, first of all, they can reach me directly at any given time, and I can mm-hmm. reach at 301-805-0088 at the Will to Win office. But most importantly, our programs not only work with the students, we also work with the parents.
Right.
It's an interesting dynamic that a parent who has not gone to college how do you advise your kids to go to college, and what questions do you ask the recruiters? So we work with parents to do those type of exercises. So it's important that your listening audience understands that we're here to support the wholesome of the family, the individual, and the coaching staff that's out to find these talents.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, now later on the show, we're actually going to have a coach from Howard University join us and talk about recruiting. But here you are saying, right, I don't think a lot of parents know, you know, what questions do I ask this recruiter? Even you're going to help the coaches and you're going to help the student. I don't think there's many programs out there, Tony, that help the whole family, which you are doing, I think, is especially needed. You guys are also based in PG County, so easy to get to. The address is 12328 Quiet Owl Lane in Bowie, Maryland, 20720. I like to give the full address to people like me who like to just put it on the GPS. But Tony, like I said, please keep up the great work that you're doing. It's needed, and that's why I wanted to spotlight you, and I hope more people definitely check out the great work that you guys are doing, because you guys truly are the real deal. So Tony, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on to today's show. And for all the listeners, I'm going to take you to a quick commercial break, but be sure to stay tuned for an action-packed episode of Listen In with Kanan as Kelsey's HBCU college tour continues.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites, from their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes. Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
All right, so joining me today is Howard University's wide receivers coach, Michael London Jr., who, of course, I know you heard that name, but yes, he is the son of Howard head coach, Mr. Mike London. Now, if you don't know about Michael, he joined the Navy after high school. 4 years after the Navy, he started coaching high school football up in Massachusetts, and he recently won a state championship in New Jersey last year. Now, this is his first year coaching at the collegiate level, so without further ado, I would like to welcome Mr. Michael London Jr. to the show. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. It's a pleasure. So tell me a little bit, okay? So you joined the Navy after high school. So let me wish you a happy belated Veterans Day. But I'm just curious, do you think your experience in the Navy has, you know, anything to do with how you kind of coach the players now at Howard?
It does. Joining the military, you know, you have a lot of discipline in your day-to-day involvement with just life and period. So when I coach, you know, there are a lot of things on the field that have to happen, but there are a lot of things on off the field as well. So discipline has played a significant role in how I coach, and also just passion and energy you get from the military and serving your country.
Right. And then I know you coach at the high school level, but tell me a little bit, I mean, how different is college coaching? Or, you know, is there really not a big difference?
It's a huge difference. With high school, you only focus on the season for about 3 to 4 months. With college coaching, recruiting is 365, 24/7. It's nonstop. And so having to go out, recruit, search for players to make your program a better team is time consuming, but I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm with my father. This is my first year coaching at the collegiate level. So what better way to do it with your dad as the head coach?
I mean, I feel like that's just perfect harmony. And if people don't know, Dr. Wayne AI Frederick announced your dad as the head coach of Howard University football team back on January 8th, 2017. And now I have to ask you this question, because I'm sure you get it all the time, right? So your dad has all these accolades and stuff like that. But how is it coaching with him? I mean, like, is he tough on you? Or, you know, does he think you just kind of know what's going on and he kind of just lets you, you know, do your own thing? Like, how is it coaching with your father?
It's a blessing, first and foremost. But I'm held, the accountability level is just like it is with all the other coaches. So,
right. You
know, if I'm slacking, then I'm going to hear about it. But for the most part, you know, it's encouraging, because when I do something, or when the other coach does something, he lets you know, hey, great job. But we're held to the same standards, same accountability issues. With me, though, you know, I never take anything for granted, because just us walking the yard or something that small is significant in our lives, right, because it's a memory that we'll be able to cherish, you know, when we get older and we move on in our careers. So it's,
right,
it's an extreme blessing. But, yep, I'm held to the same high standards just like everyone else.
I figured, but, you know, I had to ask because I know, I feel like everyone's curious about that. You know, what would it be like being with your parents? But I'm also just curious, the holidays are coming up and things like that. Like, how is Thanksgiving? How do you guys celebrate that? Like, is football always the main topic of conversation? Or do you guys try to leave coaching, you know, at Howard, and once you leave, you just kind of have your father-son relationship?
Well, we have such a big and unique family. When we go home, football is on TV. We're talking about,
right,
football. You know, it's faith family football with us. So we get an opportunity to talk about what's going on in everyone else's life, and then we'll reflect on our season. Hopefully we won't be done once, you know, Thanksgiving comes, but it's been football for us throughout the duration of my life, and we just,
mm-hmm,
get together, we laugh, we'll talk about, you know, what happened, what's transpiring in the season, and then just continue just to moving forward as a family.
Wonderful. And you talked about moving forward. So now I want to move forward to my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. And I want to focus on recruiting in the DMV. Now, I know your recruiting area is Washington, D.C., Montgomery County 3A, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and then the auxiliary of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Rhode Island. So tell me a little bit about what it's like recruiting in this local area, because I know you're from this area as well. I mean, does that help you think with recruiting? And, you know, what are you looking for when you're recruiting these athletes from these different areas, kind of in this northeastern area?
Well, what we look for is character. That's the most important thing, is how these athletes are going to be off the field. Obviously, your athletic skills, what's going to get you here at Howard, but the most important thing is just what you do off the field. And so recruiting the DMV is very important, because you have to take care of your backyard. We like to call it, or other schools call it, fencing the DMV. You don't,
mm-hmm,
want to miss out on a kid that calls this area home. That's the most important,
right,
part, because you don't want him to go anywhere else.
Right. No place like home.
Absolutely. And so it is kind of hard, because most kids want to leave, you know, the nest, so to speak. But,
right,
we try to influence how we coach and who we are as men to come here, and you can go home on the holidays. But right now we have, I believe, 4 commits from this area. And so,
okay,
it's important that we continue to reach out and build relationships with the high school coaches, invite them to our camps so we can strengthen that relationship with this area. I say it all the time, but DMV has some of the best athletes in the country.
I agree.
And so
I agree.
What better way to make your team better if you can just stay at home and recruit at home?
And let's not forget, we get hungry during the holidays. How easy is it for kids to be able to drive home and be able,
exactly,
to come right back to school? You don't have to take those long plane rides.
Nope. And the care package that mom sends only take 1 to 2 days if you mail it. So
exactly. And then, you know, your roommates are going to come in and get some of your stuff. So it's just easier to stay home. That's why I myself went to Maryland and Georgetown. And one of the best decisions I've ever made, because, I mean, I'm from the DMV, and I would not take it back. And that's no, you know, nothing for people who want to go out, but I'm so happy I made that choice. Now, Mike, I want to put you on the spot, because I love the recruiting aspect. And I feel like so many questions, people have so many questions about recruiting in the DMV. So let's just say I'm a guy, right, and I'm, I don't know, let's say playing at one of the top high schools in D.C., okay? Let's just say I,
mm-hmm,
went to Gonzaga, right? I'm a top player. I'm a wide receiver, since you're a wide receivers coach. You know, I'm winning all the games. I at least have a touchdown a game. I have the big yardage. I don't drop balls. You know, I'm one of the top recruits, okay? What would your pitch be to me to stay here and choose Howard University?
Well, first I would – make sure that you have a 3.0 GPA with over 1,000,
okay,
SAT, or a 21 on your ACT. Academics is important here. So the first thing that we pitch is the strength of how the education is the important part of succeeding here at Howard. And then,
right,
I would also pitch, you know, winning is recruiting right now, and we're definitely doing that here at Howard.
Yes.
So you would be able to to stay at home, you would be able to win, and you would also be able to play at the level, at a higher level that you wouldn't normally expect at Howard. So you would definitely get the best of both worlds here with academics and athletics.
Well, that sounds good to me. I mean, you get good books, you get to go to Howard, you get to stay local. I mean, it's not hard to see how you guys already have those four recruits. Now I want to dive into the MEAC conversation, which I know you're probably excited about since this race is really heating up. So the MEAC announced Monday night that North Carolina A&C football will represent the conference in the 2017 Celebration Bowl, which will be played at noon in Atlanta on December 16th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This will be the Aggies' second berth in 3 years. But now for people that don't know and are like, wait, well, where does Howard play into this? I'm going to quickly break down the scenario. So due to North Carolina Central's loss Saturday to Bethune-Cookman, only North Carolina A&T State, 7-0 in the MEAC, and Howard, 6-1, have an opportunity to win a share of the MEAC title. The Aggies will host North Carolina Central live on ESPN3 this Saturday, while Howard will go on up the road to Hampton. So at stake for the Aggies on Saturday is an outright MEAC championship, which would mark their first since 2013. And Aggies' win would accomplish this feat regardless of Howard's outcome against Hampton. Now, an NCAT loss coupled with a Howard win will also allow the Bison to share the MEAC championship with the Aggies. It would be the Bison's first title. Mike, this surprised me. It would be the Bison's first title since 1993. I was only 1 year old. Has it really been that long?
It has been that long.
Oh, my gosh. That is crazy to think about. Okay, so you need an NCAT loss. And if you guys win, which, of course, Hampton, I think you guys could win. I mean, how are you preparing your team for this? Since you kind of have to – you guys have some different factors, right? It's not just to win. So how do you prepare your team for something kind of this important?
Well, right now we're just focusing on being 1-0 this week. We want to focus on Hampton. Hampton is the task at hand. We know what's at stake with a win, but to try to block all the outside interference, you know, can be challenging. Just being living in the world of social media, but our main focus right now is Hampton. If we win, then, you know, we will talk about the playoffs when the playoff talk comes on the following Sunday. But with A&T choosing to go to the Celebration Bowl, that leaves us with the possibility of going to the playoffs. My dad and some of the coaches here won a national championship with Richmond. So they know what it's like to play in the playoffs and go on and extend your regular season, and then go to the big show. So yesterday we had a meeting with the team, and what my dad did was he put on the big screen the road that Richmond took to get to the national championship when he was the head coach there. And, I mean, with all his passion and how, you know, excited he gets when he talks about Mission Possible, you know, everybody bought into – being 1-0 this week and then worrying about the FCS playoffs when they come.
Okay, well, that sounds – I mean, because that makes sense, right? Like, he's done it before, and how better to not follow someone that has been there, right? You want somebody that's kind of been to that promised land. And for people that are still kind of curious about how the MEAC tiebreaker system goes, I'm going to quickly break it down for you. So both North Carolina A&T State and Howard earned 6 points for wins over Football Bowl Subdivision FBS teams as the Aggies defeated Charlotte and Howard beat UNLV. Now, the Aggies earned an additional 4 points for their non-conference football championship subdivision FBS win over Gardner-Webb, while Howard does not have a non-conference FCS win yet. So right now, the MEAC is pretty much North Carolina A&T, 10-0, Howard 7-3. They're leading the division. So I'm curious to see how it'll play off. So best of luck to you guys, of course, this weekend against Hampton. Now I want to dive into the MEAC Hall of Fame, which was also recently announced, which was also some big news. So the MEAC announced last week the 5 members of the 2018 Hall of Fame class. They will be enshrined during awards brunch on Thursday, March 8th, starting with the welcome gathering at 9:30 a.m. at the Sheraton Norfolk Waterside Hotel in Norfolk, Virginia. Now, they'll also be recognized before the 6 p.m. men's game during the 2018 MEAC basketball tournament on March 8th at the Norfolk Scope Arena. Now, I kind of want to, well, before I dive into the Hall of Fame, well, actually, no, I'm going to dive into the Hall of Fame first. So first we have Nick Collins, who represents Bethune-Cookman. He was a 3-year starter at free safety from 2002 to 2004, and the captain of one of the most successful football teams in Wildcats history. We have Satrick Darby, South Carolina State. Chuck Darby is held as one of the best defensive players in South Carolina State football history. Charlene Johnson, representing South Carolina State. Charlene Johnson played basketball for South Carolina State University, helping the Lady Bulldogs win the 1979 AIAW National Championship. Janina Lee, representing Morgan State. Janina Lee is one of the most dominant middle hitters in MEAC history, while she helped the Morgan State volleyball program create a championship pedigree in the conference. And I wanted to save the best for last. We have Mr. Jay Walker, representing Howard. Jay Walker is one of the most prolific football names in Howard history. After transferring to the Bison from Long Beach State, Walker was a two-time first-team All-MEAC selection in the conference's Offensive Player of the Year in 1993. That season, the Bison went undefeated en route to winning MEAC and Black College National Championships. He passed for 3,324 yards in 1993, which ranks as the second-highest single-season total in MEAC history, and his 223 completions ranked fifth in conference history. He also threw 24 touchdown passes in 1993, tying for the sixth highest single season total in MEAC history. In 2005, Walker was inducted into the Howard University Athletics Hall of Fame. He was the seventh round draft pick in 1994 by the New England Patriots. He played in the NFL for four seasons, two for the Patriots and two for the Minnesota Vikings, and he served on the Maryland House of Delegates since 2007. He currently works as a college football analyst for ESPN. Now, I know you have a lot of pressure. When I see Jay Walker on the sidelines first, I mean, are you ever intimidated, you know, having someone like Jay who's done so much for Howard football? Does that ever intimidate you, Mike?
No, it doesn't. It's a blessing to have Jay Walker on the sidelines, because when the players acknowledge, when we try to move forward, we also like to acknowledge the past. You know, when the alumni, especially with Jay Walker here, he's been to a couple games, actually, and he's been here to speak with the team personally. And he motivates us with his words and what he does in the community. And it's just, again, it's an appreciation to have Jay Walker as a Howard alum, and also with all the success that he had on the field and off the field, to just come back and give it to the guys who sat in those very own chairs that he sat in when he was here at Howard. So when he's here, and he's been here, like I said, a few times, I make it a personal promise for myself to go over there and say hello and introduce myself and just try to chat with him a bit, because, I mean, it's just a remarkable feeling, you know, once he's here and you know that he's here supporting the Bison.
Right, and you said remarkable. I mean, this is why he's going into the MEAC Hall of Fame. And I feel like, what a year for him to get inducted when you guys are rolling at Howard in football. And that kind of leads me to my next section, going into Howard football past and present. So, Mike, before you and your father came, Howard had won 3 games in 2 years. What? Like, it's crazy to think that, right? But you said something earlier, Mission Possible. And I know your dad said that would be the slogan for this fall. So tell me a little bit, I mean, what does Mission Possible mean? Because, of course, I think anything is possible. But, you know, how do you apply this to your football team, you know, that for the seniors or, you know, juniors and people who have been there when the team wasn't so good? How are you guys applying that to motivating them? And also, how are you using that to apply some of the newbies to the team?
Well, with Mission Possible, you can use it at your advantage in anything that you do in all aspects of your life. But for us, the first thing that we had to do was change the culture. We definitely had to change how the players went to class, how they showed class, and how they treated people with dignity and respect. Those are the models of how we set the standards here at Howard. And so, you know, when you go in and you're prepared for UNLV could be, you can beat UNLV. That mission is possible. When you're trying to change a culture, that mission is possible. When you're trying to raise the GPA, the total GPA that we had on as a program, that mission was possible. So anything that you do is possible. And just the belief that these kids are winners was, I guess, the hardest thing that we had to overcome. And once we won the first game, you know, they had a different kind of swag in how they woke up in the morning, because they started to believe in themselves. And that's the biggest
right.
thing that we had to do, was just have these kids just believe that they are winners and that, you know, anything is possible if they work hard. And it's been a remarkable outcome so far. You know, we're not done yet. But, I mean, they've bought into it. The younger guys who we brought in, we played like 20 freshmen this year. They're buying mm-hmm. into it. And it's just going to continue to recycle itself. And hopefully we could just continue to win and continue to make every mission in front of us possible.
I mean, I feel like it was so much easier said than done. When you guys beat UNLV, I mean, you guys beat UNLV in that 43-40 win back on September 2nd. I mean, I feel like after that, obviously Mission Possible could kind of be put into fruition, because what a win that was. I mean, that was the top of the headlines, not just in this area, but nationally. I mean, it was crazy, and I feel like that just kind of pushed it through. And then even the Kent State game, I know you guys lost that, but I mean, 38-31, it was still kind of close. So that just kind of tells you, I mean, you guys are really doing it, and what a year you guys had. I mean, winning a couple games the past two seasons to being in consideration for the playoffs, that just tells you how much you guys have changed the season. And kind of two players I want to shout out, kind of, since the MEAC announced their weekly honors, were Howard University senior Anthony Filwa, and sorry if I said his name wrong, and freshman Brian Cook were recognized for their outstanding performances versus Norfolk State, who you guys just played last Saturday. Now, Filwa earned the league's top offensive honors, while Cook took home the MEAC defensive and rookie of the week honors. Now, Filwa ran for a season high 193 yards and two touchdowns in the comeback win over Norfolk State. And what a game that was. I mean, I felt like you guys were kind of down, and all of a sudden the Bison came through and you guys ended up getting that win. The California native came up big in the fourth quarter as his 59-yard run on the team's opening drive in the quarter set up Howard's third touchdown of the afternoon and made it a one-possession contest. And then Cook recorded a pair of interceptions along with three solo tackles in Howard's win over Norfolk State. The freshman who you kind of talked about, the newbies on the team, picked off his first pass to open the second quarter, which led to a scoring opportunity by Howard. Cook's final interception in the fourth quarter prevented a Norfolk State score as the pass was picked off at the HU-10. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, I talked about these two players, but I'm kind of let you, you know, give some shout-outs to, tell me some of the top players that you guys are having, you know, and just kind of why you're so, you know, happy with what they're doing on the field to kind of get you guys in the situation where you can be in playoff consideration.
Well, I would be a little biased. I would start with the wide receivers, but I want to start with our offensive line. Coach Daryl mm-hmm. Bullock has done a remarkable job with just getting these guys to believe. I know Anthony gets the reward and he gets recognized, but I mean he's not running as many yards as he gets if he's not running behind our offensive line. So I want to start with those guys first. But Jaquez Ezzard, wide receiver, who right now he's ranked third in yards per reception with 27.2.
Okay.
He was hurt in the spring, and he was actually the ball boy. And so for him to just have all the success that he's having right now, and just knowing his story and knowing how down he was because he wasn't able to participate in the spring, it's a remarkable feeling when you get a guy like that to come in here who just works hard, you know, doesn't say too much, and then goes home. So Jaquez Ezzard has a remarkable season. And then Anthony will always be Anthony. He's just a mm-hmm. phenomenal back. God willing, he'll have a shot at the next level next year. We have had every NFL team except three, I believe, come in to check him out. So he was definitely a diamond in the rough when he was found by the whole coaching staff. And, I mean, mm-hmm. he's just been able to just do what he does consecutively every Saturday. And then you also have Kyle Anthony, who last year, I believe he was second preseason all team, with him having a phenomenal season. And just our whole defensive side of the ball, just to make the adjustments that they need to keep the other team out of the end zone, gave us the opportunity in numerous games to, you know, wake up a little bit as the go-go offense, what we call it, and mm-hmm. to finish the games. And then, of course, you know, without
you gotta save him, right?
And you also got to say Kayla Newton,
right.
The freshman phenom right now. He's done a fantastic job. He's being being recognized for everything that he's doing on the field and a lot of things that he's also be doing off the field. He had a little identity crisis in the beginning because, you know, everybody was calling him Cam Newton's little brother, but he definitely quieted, you know, all that talk with just him going out and doing what he does every Saturday. So those
right.
are a couple
mean,
guys.
You guys are really, I mean, just like you, those are a couple guys. I think your whole team, I mean, we probably could have been on this show for a long time if you got to shout out everyone that was doing great stuff for you guys. But, of course, Kalen Newton, we have to talk about who everyone's kind of talking about. And as you said, an identity crisis. I mean, when you have your brother Cam, who's also killing it right now, right, in the NFL, it must be something these boys are eating because it seems like they're both on the same track. But everyone is talking about Cam's little brother. I don't even know if everyone knew his name at the beginning, which is horrible. But, you know, he was living kind of in the shadow, right? And his brother, who was 10 years his senior, excelled on the football field. You know, he won the Heisman Trophy, the BCS National Championship at Auburn back in 2010, was the number one overall draft pick in 2011, Rookie of the Year that same season, and NFL MVP in 2015, led the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl. And we can go on and on and on about Cam, right? But Kalen, who enrolled back at Howard in January, first of all, looking at him, he's not his brother's size, right? He's 5'11", and he's 195 pounds. He was a three-star recruit, right, coming out of high school. And no FBS programs really pursued him as a quarterback. So, first, I just kind of want to talk to you. I mean, what did you guys kind of do to Al to be Kalen? Because he didn't have to be Cam at Howard to be Kalen and really excel.
Well, he's done a remarkable job by coming in and preparing for each game day in and day out with our offensive coordinator, Brennan Marion. So it started with him just taking on the role of being the starting quarterback. And, you know, it wasn't going out, hanging out. It wasn't, you know, just trying to be flamboyant in anything that you do. He's been able to remain humble enough to accept the role and take everything that this role has when it comes to being a starting quarterback. And so with him just knowing who his brother is, he's loved the fact that he is a Newton. He's blessed, and he's every day, you know, he'll let you know. But he's Kalen, and he's been able to emerge as our leader just the way that he handles himself on the field and, most importantly, off the field. And so with him, you know, just us being the number one offense in the MEAC, 19th in the nation, number
wow.
one in rushing because of, you know, he'll be able to take off and two in passing. So it's just us just, you know, having him lead the way, just the way that he prepares for each game. He's just been a blessing.
And I feel like you said it so well. Like, yes, he is a Newton, right? You're not going to take that away. That is your brother, but he's made his own identity. And I think that's huge. And really, I think Kalen made a name for himself when he scored that winning touchdown back in week 1 to upset UNLV when he ran in from 4 yards out to take a 43-40 lead over the Rebels midway through the fourth quarter. So that's when I think people were like, wait, let me find Cam's little brother's name and let me recognize Kalen. And you said his stuff. I mean, Kalen Newton has been one of the most productive players, not just in the MEAC, but in the FCS this season, people. He ranks 14th among all players in total offense and is first among freshmen, averaging 290 yards per game. He's averaging 217.3 passing yards per game while completing 50.22% of his passes. And before the last game, threw 13 touchdowns and ran in 11 more. So he's pretty much doing it on the field, but I think he wants people to know, I'm Kalen and not Cam. I really think he's going to make his mark. I honestly think he has what it takes to kind of be a legacy at Howard, kind of like that Jay Walker, and hopefully in that drought. Because think about it. I mean, he led the biggest Vegas upset in college football history. That's nothing to play around with what you guys did back
right.
in UNLV. I mean, that's huge. That's going to stay with him for the rest of his life. And who knows if that would be broken, but I would bet it probably wouldn't be broken anytime soon.
Right.
Because I feel like I have to touch on that UNLV game. What was the morale like after that game, right? I mean, you guys go all the way to Vegas, right? You're in Vegas, first of all. How fun is that? And then,
right.
Of course, like, people thought, I mean, it was a game, unfortunately, that's what people thought, right? It's a game that people thought you guys would get beat at. And then here you guys come, Howard University, all the way from D.C., and go in and beat the Rebels on their field. I mean, what was, just kind of describe what the atmosphere was like after that big win.
Well, it was a remarkable feeling in the locker room. We were able to count down the points on the field, but then when we were in the locker room, you know, the water was going everywhere. My dad started dancing. I mean, it was just an unbelievable feeling because it took us an entire summer to prepare for a UNLV team. And again,
yeah.
the Mission Possible statement came in, like, you know, yes, you're Howard. Yes, they're UNLV, but anything is possible. So
right.
with that win, it's a milestone in Howard football history, but we just want to continue to keep winning and just continue games like that through preparation and finding players who have good character, who show good character off the field, but
mm-hmm.
not only, you know, have that athleticism on the field.
Right. And I feel like, I mean, you talk to it, but first of all, you said your dad was dancing. I want y'all to keep winning if we can keep getting Coach Mike London to be dancing in the locker rooms, because I'm sure people would love to
if
do
you,
that.
I know if you Google it, you'll get a chance to see it. I mean, my brother was in the locker and he was able to record it, so I'll be able to send it to you. But, I mean, he still has the moves.
Well, that is good to know. So this is more reason for you guys to keep winning so we can keep seeing these great videos of Coach Mike London dancing. And, I mean, honestly, you guys, for whoever betted on you guys that game, is that $100 bet on Howard to win would have paid more than $50,000. So you guys should be getting a lot of Christmas cards and thank yous for those people out in Vegas. Who actually bet on you guys. I thought this was even crazier. According to USA Today, they reported that Howard had to arrange for its band and cheerleaders to arrive in Las Vegas by noon the day before the game to participate in various events to receive the full guarantee of that game. So it's like you guys kind of have factors against you, but still you guys went in and shocked everyone. It's like just some people thought Maryland beating Texas that week would be the biggest win. Here you guys go and become the biggest storyline. So I thought that was obviously great. Now, I kind of want to switch it to Black college football as a whole and talk about the 2017 Box Tarot HBCU FCS Football Coaches Top 10 poll. Now, through November 4th, 2017, of course, North Carolina A&T is ranked first. Grambling is ranked second. North Carolina Central is ranked third. Alcorn State is ranked fourth. Southern is ranked fifth. And Howard, here you guys are at number six. I mean, so as a whole, I think with holding up with all the great HBCU sports teams, you guys are really doing it. I mean, kind of talk about where you think you rank as far as the other HBCU sports teams in all the conferences.
To be honest with you, you know, we really don't get into the rankings. You know,
okay.
my dad does a great job at doing his job, and that's allowing us as assistant coaches and position coaches to better our players to get prepared for each week. It is
right.
a blessing because, I mean, we're sort of – it's sort of the worst from to first scenario for our season. But if we prepare like we do each week, you know, if we get – if the mentality of the Mission Possible statement is brought to the field each week, then we'll just continue to win. And then we'll let the pollsters and everybody else, you know, do their jobs and rank
right.
us up. Black college football has been a remarkable experience for me because every week it's not like, you know, a scrub team or a great team. Each team has unique individuals who chose the HBCU route to not only get a great education but to also play great football. And so these teams have been on ESPN numerous times, so we are getting the national recognition as far as HBCU football, and, you know, we also have the Celebration Bowl that A&T is going to represent the MEAC in to play the SWAC.
Right.
So every week is just, you know, to prepare as a team for that opponent, and then we'll let everybody else, you know, do their jobs. And the most important thing is to get these kids prepared for Saturday, and that's just
right.
our focus as a team.
And you talked about, we're talking about HBCUs, and I'm just curious that it's my fault I felt to ask you this earlier, but when were you first introduced to kind of HBCUs as a whole? I mean, were you around HBCU football and sports when you were younger? I mean, is this kind of your first time, you know, fully being embraced and, you know, a part of HBCU sports? Like, you know, when was your introduction to the overall HBCU landscape and then HBCU sports?
The crazy thing is when you hear about HBCUs, everybody talks about the bands. And mm-hmm. and so growing up, you hear about, you know, the halftime shows. But for me, I love it because, I mean, you hear the passion of the Black culture
mm-hmm.
in the bands. And you also hear it, you know, during a halftime when, you know, you play music and everybody's not just standing around. Everybody's dancing and getting into it. And so,
right.
and then you're there to watch a great football game. And so I love it. You know, I just love the culture of how the band does their thing at halftime at Howard, and then us doing our thing for four quarters, and then just us having the community come out and show love and support for their
mm-hmm.
team. You really don't see that when you speak HBCU football. But, I mean, it's live and kicking. So I enjoy every minute of it. You know, our cheerleaders are dancing and moving around and getting the crowds into it. And so it's just a live party. But you also,
right.
you know, have the focus at hand, and that's the task, and that's to win the game.
I mean, it's an experience, right? When you go to a Howard football game, I mean, first of all, you have Shelly, you know, on the mic going 1st and 10, right? Getting everybody into it, letting you guys know you guys are the first down. You're right, the cheerleaders are doing all types of stuff. You're looking at them, then you guys are doing it on the field. I mean, you're dancing with people you might not even have a connection to, but you're just enjoying the game. And I feel like that speaks so much to it. And I was glad I was introduced to it young, luckily, because I'm the daughter of a Gremlinite. So I was always in that experience. And nothing beats that. I'm telling you, even, Mike, when I'm covering the game sometimes, I'll be wanting to go in the stands and just dance with the rest of the people. So I am known sometimes to dance on the sidelines because I get into the game. I get into the groove. And I feel like it's something that no one can escape from. Of course, you can't because you're
right.
still coaching. But it really is a fun experience. And you talked about Howard University cheerleaders. I want to bring up something that is kind of, I feel like, not as talked about as much, but it's something that I think they should get more recognition for. So in support of the stance that now former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who, of course, we all know now, and he was just on the cover of GQ, cheerleaders of Howard University have continued to kneel for the national anthem, which is something they have done since last season. They took their stance of September of last year, 2016, shortly after Kaepernick began his silent protest on the NFL sidelines. So the cheerleaders have been known to kneel. More people have seen them kneeling during the Black National Anthem. And then, of course, at Howard, if you've been to a game during the Black National Anthem, fans and the cheerleaders will stand with their fists raised in the air. Now, I'm just curious. I mean, we know the cheerleaders are taking the stance, but do you guys ever have this conversation in the locker room about, you know, players kneeling in support of what Colin Kaepernick started, which is kind of to bring awareness to injustices that African-Americans, you know, are seeing with police brutality and just African-Americans as a whole? I mean, are you guys having these conversations, or is it something that really hasn't touched the Howard football team?
Well, with us, when we meet with our team during the week, we acknowledge the social situations that are happening in,
mm-hmm.
in our community and in the world as a whole. You know, we are in D.C., so it is a political town, and we are aware
right.
of, you know, what's going on as far as the social injustice situations that, like I said, that are happening. With us, and we stay in the locker room during the national anthem because it gives our team a longer time to prepare for the game. It's not something that, you know, happens because we want to acknowledge what's going on in our country. It's just how we prepare
mm-hmm.
for our games. That happens for the most part at other schools. And that's just something, the policy that my dad has had in place since he's been, you know, at Boston College, William & Mary, Virginia, and Richmond. It's just us to get mentally prepared. What our our cheerleaders are doing is just, they're just raising awareness of what's going
right.
on. And, you know, it's their right as a football team. We do stand behind our students. We stand behind our cheerleaders. But our focus, you know, is at the task at hand, and that's to prepare for the game.
Of course. Well said. And now I want to move on to something that was more controversial. And this is in my Kelsey's Are You Serious segment. And I wanted to bring this one up because you are a coach. And I don't know if you saw, but kind of making the rounds is a video on social media right now where a Tennessee State University football player actually got dismissed from the team and expelled from the school for hitting a coach. Now, if you guys don't know, TSU Athletics Director Teresa Phillips told the Tennessean that the 22-year-old senior defensive end Latrell Lee of Donovan, Alabama, was kicked off the team and expelled Monday after this video came out. So if you haven't seen the video, it shows Lee hitting the head of strength coach CJ Greenstone twice in the head, knocking him down to the turf on the sideline during the Saturday night game against Southeast Missouri at Hale Stadium. So Greenstone is charged with keeping players from getting too close to the sideline during games to avoid penalties. The Tigers offense was on the field at the time, but Lee, who was actually a criminal justice major, has started in two games this season, but he didn't play in Saturday's game. So I'm just kind of curious, Mike, like, I mean, as a coach, like, I don't know if you heard this story, but how does that surprise you? I mean, this guy punched the strength trainer twice in the head. This is a football player, a wide receiver. I mean, what do you think is kind of going on the sidelines? And I want to relate this back to you. Like, how do you keep everyone cool on the sidelines so stuff like this doesn't happen?
Well, with us, I mean, we are aware of the situation. And like I said, you know, we do go over certain scenarios with our team. But when you're in the heat of the battle, emotions, you know, do come out. And unfortunately, you know, it came out the wrong way in that situation. But, you know, you use it as a learning tool for your team, and you just try to show them that their actions have consequences. And unfortunately, you know, for that situation, that young man is going to have to deal with those consequences. But for us, you know, the standards are the standards, and it's just to treat people with dignity and respect. And that's just how we are as a team. I think that, you know, nobody is immune to situations like that, but what we try to do is we try to build relationships off the field with our players. And so, you know, with you showing a player that you care and you want him to succeed in life, it sort of minimizes situations like that when you have so much emotion involved in trying to win a game. So, you know, for us, we just try to build off the field, you know, and hopefully, you know, we minimize those situations.
Well said. And now, I can't believe the show went so quick, but it was great speaking with you. I have to take it to my last segment that I like to do, my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where today I would like to recognize Ibtihaj Muhammad. Now, if you didn't know, Mattel has unveiled the newest Barbie in its She-Rose collection, which is modeled after this Olympic fencer, Ibtihaj Muhammad. The doll wears a fencing outfit and a hijab, which is a first for Barbie. So, yes, I did used to play with Barbies growing up, even though I was a tomboy. And I think it's great now that girls can see a Barbie doll that looks like people they see in everyday life. And honestly, it's still crazy to me that this is the first Barbie in 2017 that is actually wearing a hijab. I think Barbie's great in recognizing we are all of different religions, you know, faiths, creeds, everything. And this woman represented the country in the Olympics, so I'm glad. She actually won a bronze medal in fencing at the 2016 Olympic Games. And she actually made history back then, being the first American to compete at the Olympics wearing the hijab. So I'm proud of Barbie for getting on this wave and, you know, recognizing that she really is a shero and breaking barriers. And she actually tweeted out, "Thank you, Mattel, for announcing me as the newest member of the Barbie shero family. I'm proud to know that little girls everywhere can now play with a Barbie who chooses to wear a hijab. This is a childhood dream come true." So I think that's wonderful. I mean, I think it's just all about representation. And before I close out, I'd like to remind you guys that next show I will have the one and only Mr. Michael Owl Jr., who coincidentally is actually a Howard University graduate. So I know he's going to love listening to this episode with you, Mike, and is a current journalist killing it in Connecticut. So he will be on the next episode. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us and for everyone listening. That's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at foxsports1340am.com and kelseynicolenelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.